Well, we're in a series right now, and we're looking at a letter that was written by James. James. So, there he is. I like James. James was the brother of Jesus. You know, talk about pressure, right? So, there was once a day. I have a brother. His name's Nick. He's 5 years younger than me. There was once a day when I was the cool brother, you know. Because I was 5 years older than him, everything I did first, right? So I was the first one to play on a sports team, first one to drive a car, you know, first one to do a lot of things. And because it was first, it was cool, you know. He thought it was cool. His friends thought it was cool. But, you know, in the past decade or so, maybe a little less than that, the tables have turned pretty dramatically, you know. So he grew to be much taller than me. He works out now. He's much stronger than me. He's been a lifeguard at the beach, you know, and he's super buff, and he's got this tan that stays all year round, you know. And he was just offered a job in the Secret Service. So the conversation has been put to rest. So I can relate to James a little bit here. But James, I think, makes the strongest argument that Jesus was who he said he was. Why? Because what would it take for your brother to convince you that he was God, right? You know? And James is pretty convinced. So anyway, we're looking at this letter that James wrote. And James writes probably the most practical letter we have in the New Testament. It is just, he just comes out and he says it like it is, right? And, you know, if we're honest here, especially if you've been in the church for a while, you know that church people, most of us, we are really good at taking stuff in, but not really as good at living it out. And this was a problem as soon as the church started. So this is a huge emphasis in James's book where he says, listen, don't just be hearers, but put it into practice. Take what you hear and incorporate it into your life. And that's basically the gist of this series. That's why we call this series The Gospel on the Ground, because it's this good news. Gospel means good news. That's all it means, right? Great news that we hear, and we don't just sit around and think about it and sing about it and pray about it, but we put it into practice on the ground. It's like having street smarts, right? It becomes part of our lives, and that's the point that James is driving home over and over and over and over and over again. It's where the rubber meets the road. Today we're going to look at something that I think, at least I've misunderstood for a long time. I think our view of it a little bit has been tainted. And it's something that James talks about a lot in his letter. And before we do that, I want to ask you a question. I like to start out with questions, get our minds warmed up a little bit. And this is one of those deep, you know, complicated questions. I like to ask people this when I first meet them. If you could have, think about this, if you could have any superpower, what would it be? You know, if you could do something that no one else can, what would you want to do? Something better than anybody else, what would you want it to be? Think about it. I ask some people this question and, you know, they say, oh, I don't know, I never thought about it before. I'm thinking, what do you think about all day if you haven't thought about this? Anybody want to share? Anybody? No? Okay, yeah, we got one. Yes, that's the correct answer. Since I was about 3 years old, I've known I wanted to fly. Look up, see birds flying, think, I want to do that, you know? And I've known. Some people, they have no idea. The best answer, I think, that I ever got was from a girl in our youth ministry. Her name's Sophia. We were on the bus, and we were going to a youth retreat. I was with Tori in the youth ministry. And I'm sitting in the back of the bus, and of course, I'm asking everybody this question because I need to know. It's one of those things that burns in my mind. And I said, all right, so Sophia, any superpower, what would you want? And she said, I would want to be able to fill things that are empty. And I'm thinking, okay. Like, you know, like flubber or what? You know? And she said, no. So if I needed money, I could look at, you know, an empty pot and boom, fill with money. You know, and then she said, If I saw someone that was sad, I could fill their hearts with joy. I was like, oh, you win. That's a good answer, right? So think about that. You should have an answer to this question. So this actually, something like this kind of happened in the Bible. And if you're going along with us in our Bible in a Year reading program, you're coming up to this part. I'm going to spoil it for you. But if you know King David, he's the guy who, when he was a little boy, he killed the giant, you know, David and Goliath. He grew up to become the king of Israel. He had a son named Solomon. And Solomon had to take the place of this king, this very, very famous king. And he, you know, struggled, of course, with inadequacy. And one night he has a dream. And God meets him in the dream. And he says, ask me for anything that you want, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon says that he wants wisdom. Wisdom. And I read that, and my first thought is, we were so close to having our first flying person. But he asked for wisdom. Anything. I mean, anything you can have right away. And God gives it to him, wisdom. He's known as one of the wisest person ever. If you read the Old Testament, you know that wisdom is mentioned a lot, and in the New Testament. But when it's spoken about, it's never really in moderation. It's always super extreme. Like in Proverbs, you might know that it says, though it cost you, think about it, though it cost you all you have, gain wisdom. I don't even know if I would give some of what I have. Right? Never mind if I took all my possessions and said, okay, I can have wisdom. You know, you don't read verses that'll say, like, you know, as you're going along, try and pick up some pointers, try to become a little bit more wise. No, it'll say things like, search for it, like you're searching for hidden treasure. Scream for it, yell aloud from a mountaintop. Find wisdom, and when you get it, treasure it, bind it around your neck. There's all these images of it just being so dear to people. And, you know, if you're like me, I don't know, you read that and you're like, okay, all right, I can do that, but I kind of got to work at it because wisdom really doesn't have the same kind of appeal to me. You know, when I ask you that question about your superpower, right, at least for me, I'm not thinking, oh, I want to be wise. I want to have some kind of super wisdom. There's all these other things that come to our minds. And yet wisdom has this incredible appeal. It's presented as something every